This evening we want to continue our study through 1 John. So if you have your Bibles, and we'll turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. I want to continue where we left off on Sunday afternoon. And I'd like to read from 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 5. Let's begin at verse 4 to get the lead into it. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. And them is those of you that are of the world, is what John is speaking of. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And every one that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us, and he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Let's just bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this evening, Lord, I pray that you just speak to us through your word and help us to understand the transformation that has occurred in our lives when we've given our hearts to you. Truly what it means to walk in light instead of darkness, to experience love instead of hate, and to understand forgiveness instead of bitterness and anger. And Lord, I pray that you just speak to our hearts this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle John is looking at contrasts throughout his letter to the church. He looks at Christ versus the Antichrist. And now he's looking at those that have been transformed by the power of Jesus and have experienced his love versus those that are of the world and know nothing of it. As we look at the verses here this evening, it's interesting that he starts at various passages and paragraphs in referring to us as little children. And truly that's what we are, because as each one of us, even if you're older in years, each one of us really always has an opportunity to grow in our understanding and to mature in our faith. And are really, when you look at all that there is to know of God and Jesus and what he's done and is doing in the world, none of us really can grasp all of it. You know, if you stop and think about the depth of God's love and how God works, it's amazing how God can put things together and orchestrate answers to prayer, bringing people's lives so they meet one another and cross one another at specific times when people need to hear the Word of God or need to be encouraged in His Word. And it's amazing how God does that. If you stop and look back at your life and those of you who know Jesus, how you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sure that many of you can look back and see that there are instrumental people that came into your life at specific times, and they shared with you the love of God. Tonight we prayed for individuals that don't know the Lord and pray that God would work in their hearts and draw them to Christ, and that their hearts would be open and that they receive Jesus their Lord and Savior. The Scriptures tell us that it's not up to each one of us to do everything, but rather it's up to each one of us to do what God places before us at that particular given moment. And some of us, as the Scriptures say, may plant a seed that would be the revelation to an individual for the first time, or to reinforce that seed that Jesus came to die for their sins. Others of us will have opportunities to, as that person begins to think about Jesus and what He's done for them, that as we come into people's lives, we may be an encourager and a waterer, if you would, that would help them to gain greater insight into the Word of God and into who Jesus is, why He came, what He desires to do in our lives, and why He desires that we give our hearts to Him. And then some of us may actually be the ones that see this whole process come to fruition in the lives of family or friends when they come to give their hearts to the Lord. I look back at my life and I see that there are individuals that came into my life at various times. Some of them I didn't even realize why they were there and what they were really doing at the time. But God brought them into my life to share with me the importance of the gospel message and to encourage me to give my life to Christ. And after I did, to encourage to continue to walk with Him. And so this is what John is speaking of from the perspective of God's love this evening, and how that we are to express that love. And as he's talking about expressing love in the passage that we're looking at tonight and the one that we'll be looking at again on Sunday, he's speaking of Christians with Christians. And sometimes we fail to see that we are truly, as believers in Christ, to truly love one another, to encourage one another, to be there for one another. It's interesting. There's many people that I've met that can become really have a lack of understanding of loving their fellow believers. And they can actually think that I've got a corner on the truth and you don't understand the Bible because you're not living like I am living. And it may be things that are really incidental and not at the heart of the gospel. And they're really incidental and not really walking in walking closer to Christ every day, but it's in preferences instead of pretenses or truths that have to be followed. And consequently, they will not fellowship with fellow believers. One of the things that I've found is we've traveled at various times is the amazing thing when you come into a community and you meet Christians, the first question often isn't what church do you go to or what exactly do you believe about every aspect of Christianity, but rather you can tell they're a believer by the depth of their love and how they express themselves when it comes to Jesus. And that's what John is speaking of tonight. And so let's just look at this. He says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them," that is the world, "because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." Now I want you to understand that, especially in the day in which we live, where you look around us and you see there is so much vile, evil, wickedness, hatred, discouraging things being taught and proclaimed and being forced and foiled upon people, that we can forget about the fact that Jesus in our hearts is greater than all of that nonsense in the world. And even though at times it seems like maybe Satan is gaining the victory or a foothold, we need to remember that He who is in our hearts is greater than Satan who's in the world. And you need to compare these two and see the great difference between them. At the heart of Christ and God the Father is a depth of love, and Satan stands in opposition to that love, spewing forth hatred and darkness, where Jesus came to show the light to the world. And as He does that, He reveals the depth of His greatness and that He can stand against anything that Satan would attempt to discourage us with. And that Jesus truly is the creator of all things, and Satan stands accountable to Him. And one day He will have to bow the knee, and that he will hear the words, "Depart from me and enter into the lake of fire to be judged forever." But you and I will enter into eternity with the Lord. And we need to understand the greatness of Jesus and the fact that Satan cannot overcome his greatness, but he has overcome Satan. "They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them." Now, a lot of times you may ask, how come when I talk to people about the Lord, they don't want to hear about it? And how come sometimes, I just had an incident this last week where a number of the people that I work with are sitting around talking, and they're all sharing how the various things that they had done in their youth and when they were younger, and which drugs they'd taken, which how much drinking they'd done, and all those different things. And they asked me, "Well, what did you do?" And I said, "Well, I really didn't do any of those." But they didn't really want to hear that much. They were more interested in encouraging one another in depravity. And sometimes that's the way it is. If you've been around people of the world, they want to talk about disgusting things and they enjoy it. And when you bring out the truth, oftentimes they don't want to hear it or stop listening or will try and get you to be silenced. Much of that is seen in the world today when you look at many things that are promoted and people will actually embrace them. And then when you really reveal the truth, they don't want to hear it. And the Bible tells us exactly why that is. Because they are of their father, the devil, and they enjoy lying, they enjoy hatred, and they enjoy murder. And the thing is, until Jesus redeems them and sets them free from that enslavement to those sinful nature and that being drawn into this darkness, they will continue to reject the truth. And this is what John is telling us here. There's these two opposites. Those who love darkness, those who love the lies, and those who are Christians. And as Christians, we are to be totally different. We're to love the truth. We're to love the light of Jesus. And we are to be drawn to Him. Why? Because we're of Christ, not of the world. Verse 6, "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us." Now, we were talking the other night, and one of the things that's very disturbing is you see many people that are in churches today that don't seem to want to hear about the Lord. The focus isn't in their life on Jesus, but their focus is on the world. I was talking to another man, and he's saying he was trying to find a church to attend, and he said, "I walked into so many churches, and it was like I was walking into a Hollywood production instead of worshiping Christ. And it was all about entertaining the people instead of about focusing on Jesus." And I just read a little article, I didn't get to finish it, about in Voice of the Martyrs, about people who came to Christ. And this particular man was a Muslim, and he never read the Bible, and he'd never been to church. And as he had a whole series of horrible things happen in his life, he was very, very distraught and discouraged. His young wife had died giving birth to their son, and then his son had died shortly thereafter. He had a number of other things happen in his life that were just horrible things to happen to anybody. And he even thought of taking his life. And then he met a young woman. And she was encouraging him. And she was a believer. He knew nothing about Christians except what the Muslims, his Muslim friends had told him. And he said, oh, if you go, you don't want to really go to a church. But if you go to a church, it's a big party. He got drinking and all kinds of other activities at that church. And so she invited him to come to church. He thought, I'm going to have the best time of my life tonight because I'm going to a party and I haven't been to a party for a long time. The thing is, praise the Lord, the church he walked into wasn't one that I just explained where they wanted to be like the world, but this was a church where they wanted to worship God. He walked in and instead of seeing hundreds of beautiful women, he saw old people. And he said there was an old lady up at the front playing a piano and they were just singing these strange songs. He sat and he listened and it was something totally different. And the spirit wasn't a spirit of a party, but it was a different spirit. He said that when the church service was over, later on that young woman encouraged him as well and asked him if he had a Bible. And he said no. So she gave him a Bible, but he said the Bible went home and went up on the shelf because he said they weren't supposed to, Muslims, they can get in trouble if they found out they've got a Bible. Plus, he couldn't really speak English and he couldn't really read English. But he said later on, he happened to come across the New Testament that was written in Arabic. And he began to read. And as he opened up the New Testament, he opened it up and he happened to open it up to the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus was talking about loving your enemies. A total foreign concept to a Muslim. Because not only do they hate their enemies, half the time they hate their own families. If their own families give their hearts to Christ, they will go out and oftentimes murder them for doing that, or at least shun them and have nothing to do with them anymore. Because they are now an enemy. But Jesus says, love your enemies. And this young woman had shown him love, not romantic love, but caring love. The love of Christ. And it began to blow him away. He gave his heart to the Lord. We've been listening to, my wife and I, the last couple of weeks been listening to Chosen People Ministries, and it's One Israel, and it's Jewish people that have come to Christ. The majority of Jewish people that are not believers look at Christians as the enemy because they view that Christians were responsible for the killing of the Jews during World War II. They view that the Christians throughout history have been the ones that have been responsible for killing them, for driving them from their land, from doing all these things. It's always been Christians. The problem is they have a misconception. They equate the Roman Catholic Church with Christianity. They equate Adolf Hitler with Christianity. They equate the Crusades and what the Crusades did to the Jewish people with Christianity. And none of those are Christian at all. And the amazing thing that just about every one of these people that they've had this misconception of what a Christian is, and they look at Jesus, many of them, as being Catholic and being the first Pope. But you know what transforms them? The love of Christ. And many of them, it's when they pick up the Bible and the first time in their lives they read from their scriptures, which most of them don't read anyway, but they pick up the Bible and they read from their scriptures, which is our Old Testament, their Tanakh and Torah, and they read from Isaiah chapter 53. And it speaks of this suffering one who is a suffering servant who lays down his life. Not that he can gain these great things, but he lays down his life to set people free. And to set people free from their sin. And for the first time in their life, many of them understand the depth of the love of Christ, and they truly see He is the Jewish Messiah. And they give their hearts to Him. How do you think you win people to Christ? Arguing them into the kingdom? When Mark Cahill was here, one of the things that was amazing is the depth of his love and compassion for people, no matter where they were at. And I remember him going out to lunch with me. And we went to a Muslim restaurant because he needed to have hummus, and that was the only place in town that I knew we could get it because he was having stomach problems. And we got there, and Mark, in typical fashion, began to talk to people. There was a couple sitting there with their children, and he began to talk to them, And then he saw that they were just looking at the menus, and he went up to the counter, to the till, and he told the guy, "I want to buy their meal." And the guy's kind of blown away. The guy owns the restaurant. "Why, you want to? You know them or something?" He said, "No, I don't know them, but the Lord says it's more blessed to give than receive, so I want to buy their meal." And so he went over and he told them, "I want to buy your meal, and I'm going to pay him for your meal." And they said, "Well, why would you do that?" He said, "Because the Lord says it's more blessed to give than receive." And then as he's talking to this Muslim man, he doesn't come out and try to ram Jesus down his throat, but he begins to talk to him, "Well, what do you believe in? Why do you believe it?" And all of these things. And then he's talking to him and gradually gets around to Jesus. And then Mark gave him one of the books he wrote. It was called Paradise. I don't know if we've got any copies out there right now or not. Because he knows that the Muslims, paradise is very important to them, but this is a totally different perspective of paradise than theirs. It was about a year later, I went into the restaurant, and the guy recognized me and he said, "Is that guy coming back that was with you? Why?" Because Mark had showed him the love of Christ. That's what John is talking about here. As a child of God, you're to have the love of Christ. The love of Christ should be seen in your life. It should be seen in the way that you respond to other people. And it should be reflected in the way that you conduct yourself. The world has a way they conduct themselves, bragging about their sin, enjoying really shaking their fist at God, even though they wouldn't say they're doing it, but that's really what they're doing. And doing everything the world does. If you go to a place where there aren't a whole lot of Christians, guess what? You hear a language that's not real great. Why? Because that's what the world does. And we need to understand the world and understand we're not of it. John goes on, and in the last portion of that verse, he says, "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us." This is what I was referring to at the very beginning of the message when I said we go on vacation or you go out of town or you go to somewhere you haven't been before and all of a sudden you start talking to somebody and there's almost like there's a bond there and you begin to find out and they're a believer. And there's something totally different. You can relate to them on a different level. You're talking to them and they understand what you're talking about. They're understanding as you begin to talk about current events. They understand the depth of sin that's going on in our world. They understand that the only hope for our world is Jesus. And you begin to talk to them and there's a bond in Christ. I remember hearing Dave Hunt say that one time he was in Europe and they were walking down the street. And all of a sudden he heard Christian hymn being sung, but it wasn't being sung in English. It was being sung in the language of the country. And as the man drew near, Dave stopped him and they couldn't communicate because they couldn't speak each other's language, but they had a bond. And the bond was Jesus. And even though they couldn't communicate with words, they communicated with the love of the Lord. And he's telling us this in that those that are of the Lord will hear you when you speak things of the Lord. And back again to the beginning, the thing that's so disturbing is many churches today don't want to hear about Jesus. They'd rather hear about the things of the world. And if you'd rather hear about the things of the world than Jesus, then whose are you? We as believers should have a heart for Christ. He that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Remember way back at the beginning of chapter 4, it says, test the spirits. One of the ways you test the spirit of whose spirit's indwelling a person, is it the spirit of the world or is it the spirit of the Lord? Test it. See what their real interest is. Is it God or is it the world? And if it's the world, if they all they want to talk about is the world, all they want to talk about is the things of the world. They don't want anything to do with the things of God and the things of Christ. And the love of Christ is the furthest thing from their mind. Guess what? Whose spirit do they have? And whose spirit are they possessing? And what we need to do is ask God, help me reflect your spirit to a world, because as a believer, I should be possessing your spirit. He resides in me, and I should show forth that spirit in the midst of a world that has a different spirit. There's a term that is called the zeitgeist. It's the spirit of the age. The world has a spirit, and it's in rebellion against God. Believers possess the Holy Spirit, which causes them to be united with Christ. And we are one with Him and through Him in the sense that He resides in us and He has redeemed us from our sin, purchased us, and that we are walking in the light as He is in the light. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray You help us to understand these truths. Help us to walk in Your Spirit. Help us to understand why there is this tension between the world and Christians and why there always will be. Because the world is controlled and driven by Satan, and that is his spirit. But your people are united with you. And may we always remember that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn to 203. Oh, I love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. I can see in you the glory of my King, and I love you with the love of the Lord. Oh, I love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. I can see in you the glory of my King, and I love you with the love of the Lord. Lord, help us to love one another with the love of the Lord. Go with us now, and may we shine forth to a world that does not know us. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.